gracious Father, we thank you for this day that your grace has made us to see. And we appreciate all you did for us last week, both in the services and our private consecration unto you, in our working places, businesses, journeys, in our homes. We are grateful unto you for your blessings unto us. We will ask also that you forgive our shortcomings and failures. Let our sins come under your blood. We want to thank you for the blessings we have received already in the Sunday school. Thank you for the worship service, the hymns and the crosses and the specials. We bless your name for all. We want to commit ourselves into your hand. As the service continues, we ask that you will hide us under your blood. And the enemy, we have no access unto us. Bless our gathering today. Meet us at the point of our needs. Frustrate every works of the enemy. Give us strength. Lord, take away weaknesses and tiredness, and help us to be alive and alert to your presence. Take away wandering minds and give us divine revelation. Heal the sick and the afflicted, and baptize souls with your spirit. At the end of this service, may we go better citizens of the kingdom. Lord, we pray for your saints everywhere, both in this city and other nations of the world, around our country also, where they are gathered in like manner. Lord, around this message of the hour that you are using to make your bride ready for the rapture, we pray that you will be with your servants and be with your people. Don't leave any behind, O God, in what you are doing at this time. Thank you, Eternal Father. At the end of this day, may there be joy in the midst of your people. May there be testimonies of your goodness and mercies. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll be reading from the scriptures. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not so shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by enemies, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he has got seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Let us also read let's read Isaiah chapter 14, 12 to 14, verse 12 to verse 14. Then we'll read one verse in the book of Revelation, and then we'll sit. How are thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are thou called down to the ground, which this weakened the nations? But thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Revelation chapter 3. Chapter 3, just a minute. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you, and please be seated. Some of the people we introduced have ended the service. They have moved. That's all right.
Die lara won ta fi fa wa, won ti pare isin, won ti lo.
We are just starting.
Ah, yes, bere ni o.
But I think the portion they are taking, they feel is okay.
We are part won ti gbo yen, won ro gbo yen na ti to.
That's all right.
O ti da be.
God bless you.
Olorun ko kun yin o.
We have been on this subject of the revelation of the man of sin. And the reason why we are taking the subject is because, as we read in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Brother Paul made a statement there that we should not be soon shaken in mind, whether by word or by spirit or by letter from or which epistle about the day of Christ being at hand. Say, so if you not let any man deceive you by enemies, because that day will not come except two things happen first. One is falling away from the faith. Second is the revelation of the man of sin, who is also called the son of perdition. So, and everybody could clearly see falling away from the faith. Like, there's only one faith, as the scripture said. Only one Lord. Only one baptism.
Baptism.
There are no three gods. There is just one God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one baptism, which is in the scriptures, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I shall receive, the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins. I shall receive the Holy Ghost. Because the promise is to you, to your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So those that he has been calling from that time, that this promise was given, they have been receiving his spirit. I mean those that Jesus calls. There are people that are called by their friends. No, we are not talking of calling to church. The calling to church, that one we should invite people. Yes, we should invite people to church. Being in church does not mean that God is calling the person. You only invite the person to the atmosphere where God can talk to him. Yeah, but the real calling of God as a child of God is done by God and God alone, and the call rings in the heart, because that Acts chapter 2 verse 38 or verse 37, yes, the Bible said, when the people heard this, he said they were pricked in their hearts. God pricked their hearts by the message that they heard from Peter. He pricked their hearts. Then when their hearts were pricked, they did not ask Peter, who was the man preaching, and the rest of them that were there, say, men and brethren, if the situation is like this, what are we going to do to be saved? And then Peter told them, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. As simple as it is, it's a great message. Because there is a mystery that goes with repentance. Because it's not everybody that can repent. And they also get to the time that repentance can be late. And to no more be acceptable. Then after that repentance, which the Bible told us of genuine repentance. So by the time the Bible is specifying genuine repentance, it shows that there are several repentances that are not genuine. Those that are not genuine, God does not accept them. But after the genuine repentance, then the repentant sinner has got to go to water and be baptized by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their past sins unto the time that they repented. Then thereafter, God is obligated now to now fill that person with his spirit, because it is only that spirit that can do the works of God. This flesh can never do the works of God. It is spirit. When it brings this body under subjection, then that is when the word of God can be seen. Amen. So we have been looking at the revelation of the man of sin. We started by going to check the origin of Satan. We saw an angel in heaven, Lucifer by name,
Luciferi,
an archangel, who rebelled in heaven. And what he was thinking is what we read in Isaiah chapter 14, verse
13 and 14.
That is the thoughts, those are the thoughts of his heart. And when he was having that thought, he began to preach, to bring that thought and express it among the angels. And in the course of that, he was able to deceive two thoughts of the angels in heaven, which means that those angels are his own angels to begin with. And when Michael the archangel got into the picture, he picked
Lucifer
and his angels and threw them out, and he landed here on earth. When he landed, he, in the form of spirit, he came into one of the beasts in the garden, which is called serpent. You can just say serpenti or anakoto. Yes, because it's a name. It's called serpent. I don't even know what does Yoruba Bible call it. Bible is a false interpretation. It's a false interpretation. It's not correct. Yeah. Now, you know, this Bible, even this one that the prophet says is the closest to the original translation. Is the closest. He still have errors inside, which it takes prophetic eye to pick them. And it is when those corrections are made that the thing blends with the rest of the scriptures. So, this serpent, the Bible said that it was the most subtle of all the beasts that the Lord God created. And that Lucifer entered inside and went to talk with Eve and commune with her. And the end of the communication led to sexual affair between the serpent and Eve. Which led to the birth of Cain. And that's the origin of Cain. And we trace the two genealogies reading scriptures. We saw the one of the line of Lucifer, from Lucifer to the serpent, from serpent to Cain, and coming down to harm. Nimrod. Down. And we are tracing it till today. That's what the subject is. We saw God's lineage. We read it from the scriptures. We read three scriptures at least to back it up. Genesis 5. Luke 3. And then Jude, verse 14. It's also in Chronicles. You will see there the genealogy. That genealogy came, was omitted from this lineage of God. But this came here. 1 John told us that is of the wicked one. So the picture is very clear. Now if you maybe you are just hearing such a thing for the first time, we are disposed to answer questions after the service or any time. Because we will not, we can't go back to what we have, all of them. So today, we want to continue where we were trying to start last week. Where Satan's seat is. And we just read the first two paragraphs as well and we stopped. Because the time was gone then. Let's see if we can be able to reach somewhere on it today. Because this very thing we still pass through the book of Daniel and pick some few things from the book of Revelation to come out with where we are. May the Lord be our help. So, where Satan's seat is. Paragraph 3. Well, I don't know. Just suit yourself. If maybe you feel like sleeping, you can ask the deacon for mattress.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pergamos.
Satan's throne and dwelling place. To many, these phrases have been merely pictorial rather than true historical. That is to many people. They thought it's just a picture, some picture or something. That, rather than truly historical. But they are surely real. And history bears that out. Pergamos is in the ancient days one of the towns in Asia Minor.
Asia Minor.
Which that place I think is today's Turkey or what you call them. Alright, let's just go ahead. Pergamos was indeed the throne and dwelling place of Satan. It happened on this wise. Now, reading through the book of Genesis last week, we trace this movement of the line of Cain. They founded a city that is called Babylon, Babel.
Babel.
Which later is called Babylon. Yeah. So that is where is known to be the origin of idolatry. And we are going to see how does it migrate from that place now to this place called Pergamos. And we are going to also see how it migrate again from this Pergamos. And went back to Babylon. Though no more literal Babylon. But it will be mystery Babylon. Pergamos was not originally the place where Satan, as concerning human affairs, dwelt. Babylon has always been, literally and figuratively, his headquarters.
Yala so nipa re bi o ti ri gan ni ati ninu ohun ara tabi.
It was in the city of Babylon that satanic worship had its origin.
Ni orisun esin satani ti bere.
Genesis 10 verse 8 to 10. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And Erech. And Akkad. And Kane. In the land of
Shinar.
Now Genesis 11:1-9. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they add to, and they add brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. They are using the advantage of, first of all, multiplication, which we have earlier. Then secondly, of uniformity of language. All of them speak the same thing. But the Bible told us that the imagination of their hearts, you know, and this place where we are even reading from is even post destruction. Before the destruction, the Bible said the imagination of their heart was continually evil. After they were destroyed, and the only 8 people entered the ark, with Ham, one of the people, the sons of Noah, one of them, carried the serpent seed, the wife, across the ark to this new world. And if you look at that lineage, and the prophet did say that they multiply faster. They were giving birth to plenty, plenty children. Yeah. Now we are reading what they are, what they plan, what they are now trying to do. Amen. So they say they want to build a tower that the top will reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name. Two, lest we be scattered up abroad upon the face of the whole earth. These are decisions that they have made in unison. They want to build a tower that the top will reach heaven. The prophet said the reason they were doing it was that when they will continue to do their evil, he said, if God take a notion again that he wants to destroy them, they will enter the tower and run up to go and meet God. Why did they say all the time? Why now? But they want to be doing evil here. And they don't want punishment. And they don't want destruction. And the creator of this earth, he created this earth in righteousness. And the earth that he has in his mind is where he's going to live with his own children. Which he himself is righteous. His children are also righteous. So he planted a righteous kingdom. But because of the arrival of Satan that have polluted it, it has become the Eden of Satan. And they don't want destruction. That is one of the reasons they made the tower. Alright. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. You see, as we read in Isaiah, God could see the thoughts of the heart of Satan, of Lucifer, when he was still in heaven. Lord, he knew the thoughts of his heart. So when his children are also blooming here on earth, and they are also planning evil, God also sees. But he just allowed them to first of all waste their energy and strength. He could have disturbed them from not even laying one block. But he allowed them to waste their resources, waste their strength before he came to scatter their plan. And God always calm down to look at the thought of men's hearts, to look at the actions of man, to look at their program, to look at their plan. So if you are planning evil, that nobody will see you, I tell you, God does see. Because even the thoughts of Lucifer's heart, he saw it. How will he not see today?
He sees it.
Before you act anything out, when you are on your bed, when you are in your house, when you are all alone, thinking it, planning it, before you act it out, he's looking at it. He may give you time to waste your resources, waste your strength, waste everything you have, waste your time, and the rest of it before you come and execute his own plan. But for you to say he does not see, he sees. Like a man one time, when I wanted to rape a woman, and the lady was a Christian. When he has sick the woman into the house, he locked doors, begin to lock the windows. So as he was locking maybe the last window, the lady told him, it remains one window you have not locked. He said, which one? The one up. The man's body just deflated. Ara ẹ̀rọ, the inspiration left him. And that is the end of
the
matter. If you are a genuine seed of God and you are a believer and you stand for righteousness and you stand for holiness, if Satan corner you, God will make a way out. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. That is why they are doing this thing.
So
it is God's plan for his children to be one. But the oneness that God wants is not for evil. It's for righteousness. The people used to have a saying, they say, united we stand, divided we fall. That is true. The prophet said, when people unite to do evil, he said they accomplish their purpose. Trying to bring out to us the importance of oneness and unity. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this that they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do, because of unity. What they plan, they will fulfill it, except something is done. So go to, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. And Babel means confusion. Their language was one before. In this small place where we are, if all of us will speak our own dialect, there will be another Babel here. Yes. On this platform only, it will start from there. Kata kata. We start. And that's how you go today. Go everywhere like that. Even only Yoruba people, if they all bring their own dialect, it's not one at all. If I say one word here now, only one person or so will hear it and know it. And it's Yoruba. Who knows that one? You cannot. Only one person. I don't know whether I can't see my view here now. Only one person. We know it. And it's Yoruba language.
Yeah.
They speak it in a warrior.
Yeah.
Confusion. Only talking of Yoruba, not to go beyond. Outside of Yoruba. Confusion. That's the meaning of Babel. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. The one language turned to thousands of languages. That's why the work stopped. Bring one block. Maybe it will mean something else to that one. Because the language is changing now. It might even mean that you are mad. Give me water there. Maybe say, your father is illegitimate. That is why some of these churches that speak in tongues in the flesh, they will call themselves. Because there are only two tongues in the scripture, tongues of men and tongues of angels. The tongues of men is a human language that the Holy Spirit will jump on somebody to speak it. If Brother Joseph here now, we are speaking in tongues now, in Afana language. Only pastor and couple of people here will understand. Every other person will just be looking. He himself does not know what he's saying. It is an anointing upon him that is making those utterances to come out. It is a tongue of men. That is the kind that they spoke on the day of Pentecost. How here we, every one of us, in the language where we were born. The tongues of angels, which is unknown tongues, that does not have any relative to any language on earth. When that is spoken, it takes another anointing upon somebody that will be hearing it from God in his own, in the language that he himself is understanding now, that he will now be speaking it out. Are you following me? Both the speaker and the other people hearing, nobody knows nothing about it. Everybody depending on the interpreter for their information. But the churches don't know all these mysteries. They just get to church in the morning, girls in trousers, painted up Jezebels, women that cut off their hair, that the glory of God has departed, people that dress like harlots, they'll be walking up and down there with very tall high shoes, turning their buttocks left and right, and be talking high lashes like that of Anne Francis. God doesn't operate through those vessels. It is feelingness. Babel is the original name for Babylon. It means confusion. It was literally started by Cush, the son of Ham. And who is Ham? Is the son of Cain. Are you following? But was brought to a kingdom of power and grandeur under his son
Nimrod,
the mighty hunter. Now Nimrod, according to the Genesis 11 account, and also according to profane history, set out to accomplish three things. He wanted to build a strong nation. Now, what this is Nimrod now. Great grandchild of Cain. Look at Lucifer.
Lucifer.
Grandchild. Of grandchild of Lucifer.
Lucifer.
Okay, or great grandparent, whatever you call him. The thought of his heart that we read in Isaiah. Be looking at this one now. The thought of
Nimrod.
What he wants to accomplish. One, he wanted to build a strong nation, which he did. He wanted to propagate his own religion, which he did. Then he wanted to make a name for himself, which he also accomplished. If you look at these three things he wanted to accomplish, which he accomplished, and you look at the thoughts of Satan, you will find out that they all dropped
it.
His accomplishments were so monumental that the kingdom of Babylon was called the head of gold amongst all world governments. No, we are going to bring in Daniel as we are going along. That's Daniel chapter 2. But let's go ahead first. That his religion gained prominence is proven by the fact that scripture identifies it with Satan completely in Isaiah chapter 14 and Revelation 17 to 18. And by history, we can prove that it invaded the whole world, and it is the basis for every system of idolatry. And the theme of mythology, though the names of the gods differ in various sections of the land, according to the language of the people, idol worshiper in Yoruba land is idol worshiper in South. But the name they call them differs. Like these boys, we have like OPC here. OPC, I'm not saying. These are group of like security people, whatever you call it. But they brought idolatry inside to be able to accomplish their purpose. We have the Egbesu in South. Then in the east, they have the Bakassis. They are group of like security whatsoever that they use idolatry to affect their
subjects.
As terrible as Onitsha was in the days of
Bakassi,
if your money fall down, they will call you to come and carry your money because nobody will pick it. If it is lost, and you call the Bakassis and show them the place, they will do something, and from that point, that thing will lead them to where the person is. And when they catch the person, they will cut his head. But the government stopped it. If those things were streamlined and make it to work well, you will not have the cattle, whatever you call it now, that is killing people. They did there for Benue now. Want to finish that state completely. The old president go there and say he must stop. The third day, they struck and leveled the place. Where are those people living? The IG himself went there. Chief of Army Staff went there. This and that went there. How big is Benue State? Why don't you give gun to everybody? Why don't you give gun to everybody? Give them guns. When they raise up one thing and the people also confront them, they will run. The people know about it. Let's leave that. The prophet said, alright. Okay, let me start. That he made a name for himself and his followers goes without saying. For as long as this present age goes on, until Jesus revealed himself to his brethren, he will be worshipped and honored, though under a different name from Nimrod, and in a temple slightly different from the one in which he was originally adored. The prophet is saying, this idolatry that Nimrod launched, that he got a religion for himself, he got a nation for himself, and he got a name for himself, especially the religion that he launched, which is idolatry. He said, as long as this act continues, it will move from place to place. They will continue to worship him and honor him, though in different name, it is the same idolatry. It will continue. As we are here now, it still continues. And when some of these traditional rulers are saying that we should restore our tradition. What is the tradition? It's idolatry. Worship Ogun, is it from God? Sango, or Batala, and the rest of it? Are those ones of God? I listened to the Onion of Fife give a speech recently at the birthday of Dele Mamodu now. Yes. OBJ was there, and other eminent people, governor of Osun State. So the Onion was talking. Of course, they were trying to talk that we should use things that are made in Nigeria so the economy can, which is fine. They were saying that all his attires, most of them are locally made, say 85% or something. He said, even the ones that he used, he said, Ibante, Aluwo, this and that. He said, which Baba knows where he got it? He said, he met them with Baba. I tell them where I come from? He said, another time. When you talk of demonology, these are the people. Demonology. He made a reference to somewhere in when they meet somewhere, I see about four of them. He said, hey, you say, Baba Banjo was there. And this woman preacher from Lagos, that prophetess they call her. I forgot the name now. Yes, Esther Ajayi. I don't know, all of them just went to go and converge around that woman. If you see the church of that woman, all
all of them demonology. Religious rep. Since the Bible does not deal in the histories of other nations in detail, it will be necessary to search the ancient profane records to find our answer as to how Pergamos became the seed of satanic religion of Babylon. The major sources of information will be in the records of Egyptian and Grecian culture. The reason for this is that Egypt received a science and mathematics from the Chaldeans. And in turn, Greece received them from
Egypt.
Now, since the priests were in charge of teaching these sciences, and since these sciences were used as a part of religion, we already know the key as to how the Babylonian religion gained its strength in these two countries. It is also true that whenever a nation was able to overcome another nation, in due time, the religion of the subduer became the religion of the subdued.
Is on.
No, Israel and Iran.
Israel and Iran.
They begin to send the thing to each other. Iran does not know that Israel has planted inside their place.
Iran, you must go inside it because God don't want them.
People that are digging inside and the depth of their all their powers, the world can counter it. Israel has it in Iran. They just discovered that one just like a week ago now. Of course, it's not that the bullets coming this way will not kill some Israel. It will kill many. But the only protection is majorly on the 144,000. This group, not the air of their air will perish. All the other ones are coming further. Those other ones, they will enjoy protection on earth as they follow the instructions of
Jehovah
with fear and trembling. That is how much protection they will enjoy. But this 144, we have to be to the dots 12,000 from each tribe. It is not going to be 13,000 from this tribe and then 8,000 in this tribe. Accurately 12,000 from each tribe are reserved by God for the opening of eyes and for salvation during the time of great tribulation here. It is well known that the Greeks had the very same signs of the zodiac as did the Babylonians. And it has been found in the ancient Egyptian records that the Egyptians gave the Greeks their knowledge of polytheism. Polytheism is multiple gods. Monotheism is one God. Thus, the mysteries of Babylon spread from nation to nation until it appeared in Rome, in China, in India, and even in both North and South America. We find the very same basic worship. Now, closely attached to this spreading, you will see when the prophet said that civilization is of the devil, education is of the devil. These two, they move together. When civilization is going, it goes by education. And as they are moving, it goes with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From the initial seat of Babylon that Nimrod founded through education and civilization, religion began to spread until it got to Rome, to China, and to these other places. The ancient histories agree with the Bible that this Babylonish religion was most certainly not the original religion of Earth's early peoples. History that man wrote, they trace it that this Babylonish religion, which is idol worship, the earth did not start with it. It was the worship of God that started first before Satan brought his own inside. It was the first to drift away from the original faith. It's so bad now that to look for the faith, or when you hear a place where they are saying the truth according to the Bible, if you look at who are these people, are these people still existing? This fanaticism, are they still existing? Look at what they are saying. As if it's not in the Bible. The people don't want to look at the Bible. They want to look at the bishop. They want to look at the general overseer. They want to look at pope. They want to look at cardinal. God did not give the word pope. God did not give the word cardinal. Bring it out from the Bible here. You will never see it there. God gave us his word. Period. Anyone that obeys his word is the only one that God knows. Anyone that does otherwise, he has heard from the faith. That is why people do what they like. People go to church, just sing and dance and the rest of it. Immediately the church closes. That is if the evil self does not even start in that church. Because if you go to some churches, you may have to leave before You will leave. You will leave.
Oh,
I have gone to church and see idolatry right in the church.
Yes.
Alright. Historians. Such as Wilkinson and
Mallet
have proven conclusively from the ancient documents that at one time all the peoples of the earth believed in one God, supreme, eternal, invisible, who by the word of his mouth spoke all things into existence, and that in his character he was loving and good and just. Historians, they believe that there is one God, supreme. Today, all the churches, in the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, in the name of God the Holy Spirit,
Tomeros,
idol worshiping. That's the religion of Babylon.
Babylon in the air.
But as Satan will always corrupt whatever he can, We find him corrupting the minds, and hearts of men, so that they reject the truth. The truth is not popular. The truth is scarce. Error is popular. Ideas and opinions of men is popular. So when you now hear the truth, it appears very strange. That people will say, What are we hearing? Supposing that you just go and preach where the people are. As somebody was telling me yesterday, this kind of preaching you preach, they say, there are places you cannot preach like that. So, of course, we know that. We will not just go and be looking for trouble. But wherever I'm asked to come and preach, we will start from the rudiments. No, twice I went to Baptist church to preach. When I was working in a consulting firm, our accountant, I think he's like an elder in their church. So they do give him topic to come and speak about. So he bring it to me. I should come and help him to write down the song. So I help him to put down scriptures and things and explain things to him. He will carry it go and maybe one time they call him that, this is your things you are bringing out this. How do you? He said, there is somebody in our office. Everything here now, let him come out. What is it? So they invited me to their Sunday school. So, the first time I preached, it was, I just put small things. That pastor said, What an elderly man. He said, this young man. So he was talking to the young people there. The second time they invited me again. Then I begin to do small things. They thanked me. I was not invited at all. If you go anywhere, well, everything depends on God's leadership. Because if one gets there and the leadership go wrong, the maximum. It will not be the first.
It
might not be the last. Yes. It will be in God's record. That's all. But where we reach now, it's like Micaiah. Whatsoever the Lord put in my mouth, that will I speak. One may get somewhere. You don't even have the inspiration to even talk much at all. It happened in the scripture. God told Brother Paul, don't burn your strength. They will receive your testimony concerning me in this place. So, but he went to other places. God told him, stay here. Don't hurry up. I have plenty of children here. It is God that knows where he had children. It's one that knows that all of them are serpent seed. So when he gets to where all of them are serpent seed, he may not want his servant to burn his strength for nothing. Just speak few things and then. So we follow the leadership of the Spirit. And wherever he says stop, we stop. When he says speak, we speak. Maximum. Amen. Amen. Right. As he has always attempted to receive worship, as though he were God, and not the servant and creation of God, he drew worship away from God to the end that he might draw it unto himself and so be exalted. That is the plan of Satan. He wants to draw people away from worshiping God and from serving God to himself, to worship him and to serve him. Look at Cain in the beginning. When two of them worship God in our neighbor, of course God rejected his own offering, accepted that of Abel. Then he went and eliminated the place, the person that God accepted his worship. In other words, you God, you don't have alternative. You don't have an option. If you don't take my own, then there's nothing. He certainly did accomplish his desire to spread his religion throughout the whole world. This is authenticated by God in the book of Romans. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, until they became vain in their imagination, and through darkness of heart, accepted a corrupted religion, to the extent that they worship creatures and not the Creator. Remember, Satan was a creature of God, son of the morning. Thus, we find that where once truth was disseminated among men, and all heard to that one truth, there later came a day when a vast group turned from God and spread a diabolical form of worship around the world. History bears it out that those of the tribe of Shem that stood with the unchanging truth were in solid opposition to those of Ham who turned away from the truth
tí wọ́n ti padà kúrò náà ti tán.
To the devil's lie.
Sí èké Sátani.
There is no time.
Kò sí òtítọ́.
To engage in a discussion of this.
Láti fi ọ̀rọ̀ wí ọ̀rọ̀ lórí eléyìí.
It is merely introduced.
Àkàsá ìyàn ilé ìsọní.
That you may see. There were two religions and two only, and the evil one became worldwide. In this city of Ibadan, I doubt if 1% are serving the true living God. And that's how it goes around the world. That's why the prophet preached a message, one in a million. One over 1 million. When you see one that is a Christian, you will see 999,999 people that are serpent shit. But when you talk of people being religious, it's plenty. And that is the deception. You see people smoking their M, smoking Colorado, smoking Arizona, smoking Rohin, and Alabama. They know that when they continue that way, they are going to hell. That they know. You see allots that jump from one man to another one, or from one woman to another one, and that is just their life. You know that they know that as long as they continue like that, they are going to hell. But the worst part is those that go to church and are blind to the truth. I don't know whether now whether Catholic people read Bible, but many years ago it has been collected from them that they don't know what is inside the Bible. It is the priest that will read and interpret to them. So whatever the priest reads or says, that is why they believe in the church, not the Bible, because the Bible has been taken from them and they have been presented with the priest. And this priest is a drunkard. They claim he's only his father and no marry. But the nursing sisters are getting pregnant. Is it immaculate conception? Is it priest that is giving them this pregnancy? Priest. And they are only. Even in news, we are reading about abortions. Who own the pregnancy? Why are you aborting them? Let them give back to them. Maybe we do the DNA and see who born them. His holiness. By the time we follow this teaching to the end, we see how holy His holiness is. Monotheism turned to polytheism in Babylon. The devil's lie and the devil's mysteries rose up against the truth of God and the mysteries of God in that city. Satan truly became the God of this world and exacted worship from those that he had duped, causing them to believe that he was truly the Lord. Polytheism, religion, of the enemy began with the Trinitarian doctrine. It was way back there in antiquity that the one God in three persons idea came into existence. How strange that our modern theologians have not spotted this. But evidently, just as duped by Satan, as their forebears were, they still believe in three persons in the Godhead. Where is the scripture for it? You won't find it. But they hold to it anyhow. If you are discussing with any of them, and they know that where you reach is getting to exposing their errors, they will turn into rough. Anger will burst. How old are you? Which school did you attend? When you are still a small boy, I've become this, I've done this, I studied this. Is that what we are talking about? Open your Bible and let us read. You are talking of how old. How old was John the Baptist? That he told the people, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was 33 years. And there are people there 100 years and things. They are blind at birth. They don't know nothing. But a 33-year-old man introduced the Messiah to the world. It's not age. It is revelation. Yes. It's revelation. It's not schooling. It's revelation. Sometimes, when you see the way the people will behave, in fact, I think one time me and Pastor went somewhere. These people that is called the Church of Christ. That's the first time I've discussed with anybody like that. Come and see. They don't believe in Holy Spirit. They don't believe in divine healing. I was looking at the man's eyes. Pastor said, let us read the Bible. They have a line of scripture twisted that they just want to maintain that line. So whichever way you are reading, they don't want to give attention to it at all, consideration. Because this line, that is the way they have been twisted to believe it. Like the Jehovah Witness, when they are going out, they go into their kingdom hall and take lecture for the day on a topic. That is the only topic that they will agree to discuss with you anywhere. And it has to be in the way they are twisting it. You mention any other thing, they will say that one is another time. Because they have not received lecture for that one. You want to give them a sermon book or tract? They will not take. But they want you to collect their own. I thought they don't bring your book here again. They said, I also come to their own place to come and give their. I said, you are not sincere. Blind people. This is one of the cheapest books in the market. few thousands of naira, you will buy a Bible and you can read it yourself. Though reading it all alone, without coming to hear God's word, you may be without understanding. But it will help you. It will make you like the Berean brethren to confirm whether those things are so or not. Amen.
Right. Let's proceed.
Won't we reach anywhere today? Let us be shown just one place in scripture where there is any authority for that doctrine. It's not there. Is it not strange that while the descendants of Ham went on their way to satanic worship, which involved a basic concept of three gods, that there is not one trace of the descendants of Shem believing such a thing or having any ceremonial worship that involved even a type of it? It is not strange that the Hebrews believed, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God." Is that not in your Bible? If there were three persons in the Godhead, Abraham, the descendant of Shem, in Genesis 18, saw only one God with two angels. He saw three people appear to him in front of his tent, and he said, "My Lord," singular. By revelation, he was able to identify one of them as God. The other ones, the angels escorting him. Now, how was this Trinity expressed? It was expressed by an equilateral triangle. Like this other something that was done here the other time. The triangle. Not pyramid like that, but the triangle. Okay. As it is expressed in Rome today, strange, the Hebrews did not have such a concept. Now, who is right? Is it the Hebrews or the Babylonians? In Asia, the polytheists idea of three gods in one came out in an image with three heads on one body. They molded an image that have three bodies. Yes, that have three heads. He is expressed as three intelligences. In India, they found it in their hearts to express him as one God in three forms. Now, that really is good modern day theology. In Japan, there is a great Buddha with three heads, like the one we previously described. But the most revealing of all is that which set forth the Trinitarian concept of God in a triune form of one. One, the head of an old man, symbolizing God the Father. Like the people, the Trinitarian, the way they believe, is that when you get to heaven, you are going to find an old man that will sit down in the center. That will be like God the Father. Two, a circle which in the mystery signifies seed. which in turn means the sun. Three, the wings and tail of a bird, though. Here was the doting of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three persons in the Godhead, a veritable Trinity. So, Trinity has its foundation from Babylon religion, from satanic religion. That is where Trinity has its beginning. Right. You can see the same thing in Rome. Now let me ask once again, is it not strange that the devil and his worshippers actually had more truth revealed than the father of faith, Abraham and his descendants? Is it not strange that the worshippers of Satan knew more about God than the children of God? Now, that is what modern theologians try to tell us when they talk about a Trinity. All these denominations, there are some of them that teaches Trinity so seriously, and like the Brabrand will use the word three distinguished recognizable personalities in the Godhead. Even that grammar itself, the composition of that grammar, though I didn't stay much in school, but still, the little I know, three distinguished, recognizable, distinguished, recognizable personalities in the Godhead. How are you going to join them together and make one God out of that one? You are another worshiper. Alright. You can see the same thing in Rome. Okay. I've left that place. Go down. Okay. Just remember this one thing from now on. These records are facts. And this is a fact. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And whenever he comes with any lie, it is still a lie. He's a murderer. And his doctrine of the Trinity has destroyed the multitudes and will destroy until Jesus comes. According to history, it did not take long for a change to be made in this concept of a father and a son and the Holy Ghost. Satan took them a step at a time away from the truth. The evolved concept of deity was now one, the eternal father. Two, the Spirit of God incarnate in a human mother. Does that make you think? Three, a divine son, the fruit of that incarnation, woman seed. This is how they begin to do it. Now, but the devil is not content. He hasn't achieved worship of himself yet, except in an indirect way.
Sorry.
So he takes the people away from the truth still further. Through his mysteries, he reveals to the people that since the great invisible Father, God, does not concern himself in the affairs of men. But remain silent relative to them. Then it follows that he may well be worshipped in silence. God is interested in the affairs of men. It's God that put his children here. And all of us have got to render account back to him. All that we do here on earth, we will give accounts. God watches over everything. He monitors our day-to-day conversation, day-to-day dressing, day-to-day behavior, day-to-day thoughts. Any thoughts that come up in your mind that is not according to God's word, know that it's from Satan. And when you get that this is from Satan, you have to reject it back to Satan. Otherwise, if he stays inside of you and continue to roost there and germinate, it will severe you away from God. Amen. Actually, it means to ignore him as much as possible, if not altogether. As these people are projecting that God should be neglected. This doctrine spread around the world also. And right today in India, you can see that temples to the great creator, the silent God, are strikingly few in number. Say God is silent. Idol may be silent. But the God in heaven, he speaks when he needs to speak. Since it was not necessary to worship the Creator Father, it was only natural that worship swung to the mother and child as the objects of adoration. In Egypt, there was the same combination of mother and son called Isis and Osiris. In India, it was Isi and Iswara. Know the similarity of names even. In Asia, it was Cybele and Dios. In Rome and in Greece, it follows suit. And in China, well, imagine the surprise of some Roman Catholic missionaries as they enter China and found there a Madonna and child with rays of light emanating from the head of the babe. The image could well have been exchanged for one in the Vatican, except for the difference of certain facial features. It now behooves us to discover the original mother and child, the original goddess mother of Babylon, was Semiramis, who was called Rhea in the eastern countries. In her arms, she had a son who, though a babe, was described as tall, strong, handsome, and especially captivating to the women. No, all this worship and things like this of idols, Catholic Church embrace everything. If you pass through a Catholic church, some of them that I've seen, they have a place in front where the image of the Mary and the baby in the hand, yes, where they put it in. When a true Catholic is passing that place, when he or she looks, and bow. It's idol worship. In Ezekiel 8:14, it was called Tammuz. Amongst classical writers, it was called Bacchus. To the Babylonians, it was Ninus. What accounts for the fact that he is represented as a babe in arms, and yet described as a great and mighty man, is that he is known as the husband's son. One of his titles was husband of the mother. That is why that language in Yoruba, that is wrong. For the mother to be calling the son Okomi, it's an adolescent language anyway. Yeah. It's common in Yoruba land. Is that correct? But it's an adolescent language. Child is child. And I don't know how the thing extended that nowadays wife we call the husband baby. I don't understand that one. Which babe? It's opposite of the scripture.
Babe.
Yes. And somebody thinks you are doing a great thing. Which kind of great thing is that? It's rubbish. If you use that, just put a stop to it straight away.
It's
terrible.
Right.
One of his titles was husband of the mother. And in India, where the two are known as Ishwara and Isi, he, the husband, is represented as the babe at the breast of his own wife. It is idol worshipping. The prophet is tracing the history of idolatry. Remember, he read the history books and he looked at them that they doctored the Bible exactly. That is why he brought it out. And when we get to a point now, then we'll go back to the scriptures. And then we'll begin to now see as it goes. Then before we come back to this book of Revelation, what we are tracing is the revelation of the man of sin, which is in the land now. But we just don't want to say this is the man of sin. We are tracing how does he start from the scripture, like we see in Isaiah, and we see it in Thessalonica. Isaiah tell us the beginning of it. Thessalonica tell us the end of it. And as we proceed, we are going to bring out the few prophecies that we have before us that we are to expect. We see some happening, and some are about to manifest. They are all in line. So that for the bride, you are not taken by surprise. You know that this has been said before. For those that is, I don't know what to call it, if you are on the fence about the message, make up your mind on time. Because there may be time very soon that you may not be able to shift. You may have to stay where you are. And when you are on the fence, you are still on the other side. Yes. Yes, that's in practical, in principle. You are still on the other side. You cannot totally believe what you don't actually understand. And before you understand, you've got to listen. You've got to open your ears. You've got to be interested. You've got to probe. You've got to ask questions. You've got to check it. Carry your Bible actually and check it back and forth. Are these things so? When they called Stephen and they said I was preaching heresy, and they arrested him and was taken before the council of elders, and they laid the accusations down, then they asked him, are these things so? He said, man, fathers. Then he broke into it from Abraham, coming gradually. See, when he was in Mesopotamia, God appeared to him and called him and called him out of that place to the place that he showed him. See, while he was on the way, when his father died in Aram, then he proceeded to this place where he are now dwelling, this and that. And he was going. Then he continued until David. As he was going. They begin to see where he was talking about. He talked about David wanting to build a temple for the God of heaven. He said, but how be it? The Most High God does not dwell in temples that is made with hands. As he has said in his words, heaven is my throne. Heart is my footstool. What house will you feed me? They see where the man was going. Then the devil move upon them. We have to stop this service. We have to stop it.
Away with such a fellow. He's not free to leave. This and that.
Then Stephen said, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always receive the Holy Spirit as your father did. That is the same way you are also doing. And they said, okay. We resist you. Okay. Then. And he said, Lord Jesus, lay not these things to their charge. After some more stones drop, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The Bible says, and he fell asleep. One man was there and I saw the whole thing. He didn't agree with the preaching of Stephen. But at that time, he doesn't have the boldness, the strength to say we carry stone and stone somebody. Though he collected their clothes and kept it, but he was looking at the whole thing. He was watching Stephen. As he fell asleep, he went away. That man, But the impact of the sermon did not leave him. And he was a chosen vessel. Boy, all that you could see is the denominational way that he has learned in the Bible school. He has learned from Gamaliel and things like that. Religions of the fathers. This one of Jesus something. This new revival. This message of the hour. I can't see it. We have to stop it. When he was on his way to Damascus, to go and stop the revival meeting that he has had at the starting there. Then the pillar of fire met him on the way and smote him on the ground.
Saul,
why persecuted thou me? It is hard for you to keep against the priest. You remember in the seminary that he had been taught about the pillar of fire, and he could see the same pillar of fire coming down at midday that was shining on him above the brightness of the sun. Then he said, Lord, who are you that I persecute? To his dismay, he heard the voice spoke back, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the priests. Then he remained there on the ground where he fell. Then he asked a question. What can I do now? What will I do? The voice here rise and continue to the city where you are going. But when you get there, you will be told what to do. That was actually when Saul was arrested. When you are under arrest by God, you don't do what you like. You don't say what you like. You don't dress the way you like. You didn't go to where you like. You ask God, is this how to dress? Is this how to talk? Is this where to go? If I go to this place, will you be with me there? From that time, he ceased to be Saul, a destroyer. He became Paul, a builder. Today, the ministry of Paul is in progress. As God brought it down through the ages, and today through his prophet William Branham, vindicated by the same pillar of fire, the same way that happened to Saul on the way to Damascus, that same pillar of fire commissioned this man to bring this message to this last generation in preparation for the coming of Christ. If you think that they are saying they are old, you have a short time to think about it and make up your mind. Say about us. We'll continue from there next time the Lord makes a way for us. It's either you are serving God today or you are worshipping the devil. One out of the two is happening. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes. This place is different than any other church. Here, the Holy Ghost is here, and the pillar of fire is here. If you misbehave, God be merciful to you. But there are people that have done it, and they got a just recompense. And they will regret it all the days of their life. So when you enter here, with fear and trembling, follow the instructions of God Bow your head means bow your head. Close your eyes means close your eyes. Even Saul that we spoke about, the time he looked directly to this pillar of fire, he was blind. Until he was prayed for, he could not see anything. This message of the hour is preparing the bride for the homegoing. If you are a sinner and you have not yet repented of your sins, you have an opportunity to do so. Maybe before now, you believe that God is three. You are just hearing that God is one. You are just hearing that Trinity is of the devil. You are just hearing that the right way to be baptized is in by mansion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, what about the title ones? In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. It is wrong. Because you will never see one person there baptized like that in the Bible. That statement was made to Peter and the rest of them. But with the revelation that they have, that's why they give instruction in Acts chapter 2. Remember that instruction in Matthew wasn't given to you? It was given to Peter and to the rest of them. And the prayer of Jesus Christ was for the disciples and those who will believe on Christ through the words of the apostles. Are you a Christian? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? If there be someone there that have a request, I would like to remember the prayer. Just lift up your hand to God as you request the pastor to pray for you.
Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the time that we are living in. We are very happy because we are not here by accident. We are here by your foreknowledge. As your children, O God, you know you will never, never allow us to perish with the world in their unbelief, and in the way that they now claim they are serving you, which is contrary to truth. We thank you because the way we have found you do it, that it is written in the scriptures, that holy men of God were writing the Bible as they were moved by the Spirit of God. Lord, it has pleased you that in our day you sent a messenger, a prophet, to us, to bring us back to the original world that then Paul, then Peter, and the rest of the apostles believed and taught, which man has fallen away from. We thank you for this restoration message. We are very grateful unto you. We have heard it in simplicity again, this morning through this afternoon, Master, your children has traveled forward. Some are on the altar, some have raised their hands where they are in their seat. Lord, thou who knowest all things, who knows exactly what the needs of individuals are, what their desires are, who have solution to all problems, who can dissolve every doubt. Lord, we are calling upon you at this hour. Meet us at the point of our needs.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You have taught us whatsoever pain we desire, when we ask in prayer, we should believe that we have received, and then we shall have it. Whatsoever those needs might be that have brought them to the altar, that have caused them to raise their hand, Lord, pity the gravity, Lord Jesus, may you give up to everyone, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Master and our God. May this request, O God, may they turn to testimonies for your glory and for your honor. Thank you, our Master. You have taught us, O God, that this message of the hour, it will give us rapturous faith. Lord, may our faith be increased, Lord.
Yes.
Have you heard a portion of it again this morning through this afternoon? Thank you, our Master. Wherever the enemy has been dwelling, having dominion, Lord, may the portion of the message of this day, of this hour that has been preached, may it dislodge it, O God,
yes,
from the hearts of your people, from wherever it is found. May God continue as of this moment to have the preeminence, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, our Master.
Amen.
Bless your servant, the prenuncies for the virtue that left him and the interpreter. Take all the glory and honor for gratitude's petitions. We'll be looking forward, O God, for the last service, for more of your blessings. Thank you, our Master.
Yes.
In Jesus' most holy name, we have prayed with all faith and thanksgiving.
Amen. God bless you. Somebody, or maybe some people, let me put it like that, said that that last Sunday was very rough.
We are just sitting to Koja, yeah. I will not join there.
That it was too hot.
I
don't know.
Hello.
I believe this is cool. Whichever way is not on purpose, whether to be cool or to be hot, God decides that. We also want to welcome Mr. Boluwatife Oladapo.
Cabo, sir.
Alright, God bless you. God bless you. And our land sister Grace Bamisaye is also here.
Grace Bamisaye.
God bless you.
God bless.
Well, if anyone else is somewhere and you are not recognized, it certainly is not deliberate. It's man's error, which we are subject to. Just an oversight. But the good thing is that God does not overlook. He sees everybody. And both the introduced and the unintroduced, what we are trusting is that our name remains indelible in God's land book of life. And when the roll will be called up yonder, that we will be there. God bless you. Our sitting time is 2 o'clock for the last service of the day. And Worship service by 2:30.
Ìjọ́sìn ọ̀nà orin yóò bẹ̀rẹ̀ aago méjì àárọ̀.
And the preaching is between 2 and 3 and 4.
Wàásù náà yóò dé láàrin aago mẹ́ta sí mẹ́rin.
Then we close.
A wà dàgbé fún òní.
God bless you.
Ọlọ́run fún yóò.
Shall we rise?
Ẹ jáde dúró.
198
is coming soon. Ó ń bọ̀ láìpẹ́.
If it be morning, it may be night or night.